Throw on your JNCOs, baby tees, and Doc Martens, grab your Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper, and join Jackie and Danielle on a journey to the late 90s as we reminisce about the movies of our youth on the No More Late Fees podcast. Don't forget your flannel and butterfly clips. And remember, be kind and rewind.
What's up, rewatchers?
Hi, it's Auraline from Spooky and Strange.
And I'm Dustin from Dustin Can Read and Watch, and we're here to let you know that this show may contain strong or inappropriate language.
So please, be mindful of who around you can hear it. Also, we assume that you have watched the show that we will be discussing.
If not, just be warned that there are spoilers ahead.
But really, it's been out for a while, so get caught up already.
Enjoy! Okay, well, all right. Last episode of the season.
It is the finale. The finale.
The finale. Must be Italian.
The finale.
The finale.
Finale.
The finale. The finale. There you go. What we need to quit. All right. Yeah, let's do this.
Let's do this.
Welcome back to the Rewatch Recap, Rewatchers. Hey, why do I sound like Kermit? Sorry. I'm here. I'm Dustin, and I'm here with Auraline from Spooky and Strange. We're doing the last episode of The Magician Season 2. How you feel about it, Auraline?
It's the finale. It's the finale. I'm excited. I'm scared. I'm ready to take a break from these idiots who I love.
You need a little time apart, and you know, just kind of like, I need a rest. I know I've done this before, and I remember it exhausted me last time.
They're just so chaotic, you know?
Yeah, and you just get so, like, mad. You get so mad.
Guys, I'm tired. I'm just tired.
We got to stop living vicariously through these people who aren't real, but you know.
It's true. That is what I'm doing.
Well, okay, before we start this episode, which Auraline will be recapping this time, I wanted to make sure to notify everyone that The Magician Season 3, we're going to do it, but it won't come out until January on the podcast. So we're going to try to start recording it a little early, and once we do, I'm going to probably post some of those or start posting them on Patreon so that whoever wants to listen to it early can just pay that measly $3 and they can listen to the episodes early before they start releasing live. And I don't mean just like a month. I mean like months in advance. That's the goal. So just stay tuned for those announcements. And, you know, I don't want to set a date in stone yet until we start, we get everything finalized. Yeah. But yeah, just look for those announcements. It'll be coming up probably this summer, I would think. And just a reminder, next week, me and Lauren from Fashion Grunge podcast are covering the Ghost Rider recaps. We're doing the first mystery called Ghost Story, which is in 5 parts. And so if you want to watch the show, I put a playlist on the link tree. It's at the bottom of the link tree. It's the entire series, the original series of Ghost Riders on this YouTube playlist. So it's the first episode. It's in 5 parts and you can keep watching if you want. It's fun. It's silly. If you've never seen it before, it's PBS. So low budget, but still high imagination. And maybe get high while you're watching it. That might be a good thing to do. It might make it even more fun.
Wait, nobody steal that tagline, because that's going to be the tagline for Dustin's production company. Low high budget, imagination. High imagination.
Low budget, high imagination. Oh, that's good. I like it.
Right? I like it.
Yeah. So let's, yeah, get ready to do the word thing next week. Okay. Anyway, I think Errol, she smiled a little bit. You recognized that, didn't you? Let's do the word thing. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, we are on the last episode of the season, episode 13, called We Have Brought You Little Cakes, which...
That does sound familiar.
Yeah, she brought that up last week, and if you didn't figure it out by now, it's mirrored to last season's finale, which was called Have You Brought Me Little Cakes, so...
Finally, we have!
We've got the cakes for you! So yeah, we're going to get started on this recap. Woo! As at the beginning, I'm going to do the previously on, but at the beginning of this, which apparently was not on Netflix yet again, which makes me mad because this was like a whole production made for this episode.
I know. So. When I was looking it up, every recap and like review and everything talked about this, and I kept rewinding to 000 on Netflix and like, it's not there.
It's so stupid. I wonder if it's on YouTube. It might be. But so this previously on is brought to you by narration of the Ram God himself, Ember. And Ember basically just, I'm not going to go into the whole thing because he gives way more insight to everything. He basically goes over the entire series so far. He's like, so let me tell you what's going on. There was this guy, there was Mark Chatwin, there was the, you know, the school. And
this was definitely for people who watched season one and then didn't watch all of season two, but then they tuned back in for the finale.
Yeah. Or they just, it's been so long since they watched season one.
There's really, so much that has happened.
Exactly. It's a lot has happened in this season as well, right? So I'm just going to give you those talking points that he brings up because there was a lot that he covered. And I think we're pretty well versed already in the previously on. So this is the things that he added in. Yes, he shat in the wellspring, but he also kept messing with the filtration efforts so they can continue their quote brownouts.
Oh God, what a troll.
Yeah. So he was messing with, they were trying to filter it out and he was like, nope. he kept messing it up. And then he deliberately pissed off the magician by the healing river just before Penny met him.
No.
Which resulted in Penny losing his hands.
This guy sucks.
So, I know. Okay. No, here's more. He also made sure that Finn would be ovulating at the exact time that she and Elliot would be ready to hook up.
This guy just needs to read a book. Is this what gods in Lev Grossman's universes do?
Apparently. I don't know. I guess so. He also made sure Quentin's path would run straight to that woman in the cabin in the woods, and the whole vial of blood that he gave her would come into play eventually.
Sure.
Yeah. And then he says he calls this Fillory's last gasp because he's ready to get rid of it all. And that's what you missed on Magicians. Yeah. Oh, I forgot this other part. He was like, also the ratting thing he did. He brags about that. But he was like, oh, and this morning, all the babies in the kingdom woke up without mouths.
Oh, my God.
And it shows babies in these people's arms, like the mother's arms. She's screaming, crying. And Nightmare. The baby's just like, doesn't even have mouth.
Well, they'd all die. They'd all die.
Well, yeah, because they can't eat. But yeah.
Hope he undoes that.
I know. It's really screwed up. Like, what's wrong with you? I didn't realize he could mess with the people there, but
it seems less chaos and more spite.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't. It's a little unnecessary, you know?
It seems like chaos, sometimes good things would happen too, right? Like there'd be some kind of weird balance of good.
Something
and bad.
Good would come out of something bad, or, you know, but right. Not just more chaos, but apparently not.
Anyway, we jump in at our favorite place, Brakeville South, where everything is a cool shade of depressed blue and gray.
that's why I'm like, why is that always, that's a magical place. So why is that not more in color?
It always has its own color grading, though. It always has like strange. A unique. And there is in the sad blue room is Sad Blue Alice, who is like making a candle flame. I'm not sure if she's like cold or practicing magic or both, like trying to learn basic things again. Mm-hmm. But then Quentin comes in and she's like, oh no. Oh, okay. She's, not overjoyed to see him. And I mean,
she kind of reminds me of the mental patient version of herself.
Yes.
From like the fourth episode.
She's like all internal, like drawing inside, like she doesn't want him to see her doing magic or something. It's just mm-hmm. like a weird moment. And he's like, here, I have something for you and blah, 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 blah. It's like an anti-self-harm potion.
Right.
Because she has a tendency to self-harm and we see some like cuts on her at times. Anyway, yeah. She's not doing well.
She has the death stare down too, by the way. Like,
she's not doing great. And Quentin is like, or she's like, why did you bring me back? And he's like, I love you. And like they talk about Charlie and all the Niffin stuff. And Anyway, it's like I said last episode, I'm going to say it again. It's very like reminiscent of Buffy. We don't know that she was like in paradise. We don't get anything like that. Just she seems like really not happy to be back here.
Yeah, she's she is not the same person anymore. I think she just has vague That's recollections true. Of everybody.
She's like a new version, like you said last time. She's a Alice new version 41. Of Alice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like Quentin in his naive, optimistic, stupid heart was just like, Alice will be back and she'll be my girlfriend again and everything will be great. And of course, like, it's not that. And she's like a whole person who has to start over. But anyway, while that's happening, we jump back to Breakbills. Breakbills North? No one's ever said that, but
Breakbills Maine?
Another one is Breakbills South. Is there a Breakbills Arctic Circle? Anyway, let's not find out. Penny is in the hospital wing with Professor Libson and Dean Fogg. And strangely, after being full of magic poison, Penny has magic cancer. Duh.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. And he's like, okay.
I guess it was like magical asbestos.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause now he's got like lesions growing like in his body and stuff. And Dean Fogg is like, we're going to do everything we can. And he's like, well, how long do I have? And they're like, 2 weeks. You went in the poison room and then you like hung out in it. It killed that girl, we think. Did he just, is her body just there forever?
Is she just sitting there rotting amongst all this stuff? Yeah, like.
Lord, like is she still alive and just like, anyway. And then like. Katie comes to visit him and is like, you're dying again. I mean, she doesn't say that, but like, that's kind of the vibe of like, well, nothing ever seems to go right for us, huh? Like, we can't make this work. And Penny's like, well, I'm not going to stay here and die. Cause that's, you know, his vibe. And he's like, let's go and like kill a god or no, we already killed a god. I'm trying to remember what he says where he's like, let's get out of here and do the thing.
Yeah, he's just like, let's go mess fuck shit up or whatever, you know, like usually.
Okay. Yeah. Meanwhile, a little bit south of that is Julia's apartment of like perpetual sadness. And
it's back to that, and she's back to smoking. Do you notice like the first time she gets her
she's on the couch back, she's like shell-shocked, PTSD'd to hell, which is very fair at this point. What has this been? Like a couple months in her life. She has just been through it. She's like having flashbacks. She's smoking a cigarette. Elliot walks in, because I guess people just walk the fuck into her apartment now. She doesn't let him in. Did you notice that? He just like walks
just like,
in.
Hey, and you're like, what the hell? Like, and she doesn't react really that much either.
She doesn't really acknowledge him. He's like, I need something. Oh, by the way, how are you? And she's like, hey, I'm whole again. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Elliot's like, yeah, that sucks. Like, he can't, like, he hasn't been here.
They're
you
not
know?
Close. They're not close. It's, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, he tries to, like, talk to her like a person. And eventually he's like, hey, do you want to, like, save magic? And she's like, I guess.
He's basically like, yeah, I know, like, I don't know what you're going through. I just telling you, like, but I've been through some shit and you do not need to be alone, basically.
And
so
we
come
agree
save
with
magic
that.
With me.
Also, like, everybody knows where her apartment is now and seems to be blipping in whenever they want. So she probably shouldn't stay here.
No. Everybody knows where she lives.
Right. Everybody has been to her apartment now. So let's see. Katie and Penny make a pit stop at Mayakovsky's before jetting off to Tahiti to enjoy life before he dies. Katie runs into Julia and is like, I don't have time for this, which, fair, girl.
Fair, I get it.
Fair.
Yeah.
Penny goes to find Elliot and tell him what's going on with, like, the library blank spot, like, the lack of pages in everybody's books, like 20 pages before the end, nothing happens. I feel like they're lacking information. Does it end in the middle of a sentence like a meteorite? You know what I mean? Or is there a sentence about, I'm just so curious. Or was it like, as the gas clouds began to descend,
Everything went black. And then
right. Like that's what I'm wondering. Or like, was it just like literally everybody dropped dead at once, you know?
Yeah, like Benny just walked down the street. He took a step off the curb.
You know? Right. Like everything just but we don't know. But he's trying to tell them like what's going on. And he tells them that Penny says that he read Elliot's book, and like the book lines up with like what's happening in Elliot's life, which that tracks.
Well, yeah.
Right? Like,
sure, it's what it's supposed to do.
And so Penny's like, why don't you do something different? And that like, other than the expected thing that is like laid out in your book, mm-hmm. but he doesn't know what's laid out because he doesn't know what the next decision is because he can't read the future book. Anyway.
Yeah. Here's the thing. So they're like, everybody's a blank page. And I'm like, no, I don't think it means everybody dies. It just means like the magic stops right there. And that's where it's going to stop.
Well, that's another explanation for it, because like the magical transcription in everyone's books would stop. Right. But that doesn't mean that like everybody exploded. So there's a big question mark.
The way they put it, it's like the end of the world. I'm like,
right. It literally sounds like everybody's just going to drop dead in every world at once.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's definitely not going to happen. Mm-mm. Right. Like, but anyway, Penny goes back to Katie and is like, I have a loose end I need to tie up. And Katie is like, you've done enough for everybody, which is very true. I mean, take your last few weeks and just like fuck on the beach.
Exactly. Like, dude, just go chill.
But
you
like,
know what I was thinking?
Yeah.
So like, if magic is about to end and his poison is magic, would that
but
just
the tumors
go away?
Have grown.
Oh, okay.
That's where I think the problem is. Like, that's what always gets me with magical stories, is like everything goes back to normal and like it overlooks like the damage that has happened inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
Like his body is already breaking down.
Yeah.
So I feel like even if it goes away, he'd have like organ failure or something that they'd have to deal with.
It would be a butterfly effect of things, yeah.
He would still be sick or something. There'd be, like, effect. Like, especially in this world where Julia can't catch a fucking break. She's got, like, PTSD on PTSD at this point. Like, you'd imagine physical things also last.
Yeah, and that, you know, that really sucks, especially thinking about her PTSD. Like, she had it, and then she kind of came to terms with it. Then her shade got ripped away, and then it got right back. And it's like she had to start over again.
And at no point has she, like, healed from any one thing enough.
No.
To
she
be
just
ready.
Kept like distracting herself with more stuff, and now she has nothing going on, and boom, all that's there.
Yes, everyone, it's a metaphor. Go to therapy if you need it.
Like,
but yeah, I also find this frustrating because sometimes I just want to be like, Penny, just go hang out with Katie for a while and just like relax and have a nice time and stop worrying about everybody else. Because like I know they're always in danger, but the rest of the world continues to go on every day. So. You can also, maybe he has a little bit of a savior complex.
Yeah, he does.
Even if he doesn't want one, I think he has one.
Well, he's like, I would say arguably one of the most special ones in the group because he's the traveler, you know, and he can,
yeah.
He's the psychic.
I agree. But I think it doesn't, you're not Spider-Man. You don't have to take on all the responsibility to save the world every time.
Other
you know?
People have like, much power as well. Like they,
other
you know,
people, yes, like. I don't infantilize other people by thinking they need to be saved. Like, give them full agency that they can also exercise their options and, like, skills.
Right.
Right? Like, Anyway, before they can, like, go fuck on the beach, they are zapped to the Netherlands Library because, oh, no, guess what? Even if you die, you still work here.
That was in the contract.
It's a million year contract, Penny. And they're like, what now? And I don't think we know her name yet. Do we?
Yeah, we did. It was Zelda.
Oh, we do know. Okay, her name is
Zelda. Lunch bag.
And she's like, I'll give you a moment to say goodbye, because she's like the sweetest psycho that you'll ever meet. Like,
she
that's
really
what
is
the vibe.
I feel like I keep waiting for her to snap. You know what I mean? Like something like,
because it seems artificial the way she is so like this all the time. It just
she's
doesn't
too
seem
proper.
Totally real. Like she's hiding something.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. But she's like, I'll give you a moment to say goodbye before you resume your million-year contract with us.
and they're like, you
and
can't
then Katie
do this.
Is like kicked out.
Like, they don't even get, like, goodbyes out. They're like, no, we don't want to say goodbye. And click, out.
Bye. So once again, Katie and Penny, it seems, are ships passing in the night, flung apart, and we'll see if they find their way back to each other again. I know, rough life. Meanwhile, back in the fairy realm, where we now have Margot, Josh, and Fen, so we're getting quite a little group expedition going.
Yeah.
Josh tells Margot that the fairy realm exists in the same space as Castle Whitespire, but in another dimension, which is a real, like, mind trip.
The fact that the fairies are in the same castle. They're just have, like, overgrown, like, floral.
The same place. Yeah. Like, literally. It's so wild to think about.
Which makes sense, like, though, but at least that makes more sense with their whole seeing other worlds thing. And they'll
it
see.
It totally makes sense that, like, if they, it seems like they have a level of control over being seen by people in other, like, alternate dimensions, like Margot. And so it is really cool. They are, like, fairies are so scary, y'all. I've never been as scared as fairies as in The Magicians.
Because they're, like, all, like, pale-faced and slick, like, back, so, like, blonde hair.
And, like, you can't even say business-like. It is beyond business. It is, like, a whole culture of how they act. I don't know. It's very formal.
Very stoic and very just
very serious.
And their big black eyes just staring at you.
Ooh, oh, my God. Their big black eyes. I hate it. But anyway, they find Fen, who is chained up in a cell. And we're like, oh, my God, Fen, you did not. You just got married. Like, this is. She's had a time.
You did not ask for this. Yeah.
Josh, like, gets Fen free and tries to carry her out when a fairy rings the rescuers to the fairy queen, who is bathing, because everyone in the show likes to make you physically uncomfortable whenever possible.
Yeah. This is, I think, is it Candace Kane?
Candace Kane. What a name.
I know.
The fairy queen is taking a rose petal bath. It's quite amazing. And Margot is like, you're going to give me Fen and the baby and we're going back to Fillory. And the fairy queen is like, that baby's mine. You yeah, gave that baby deal. To me. And then she's like, oh, how are things going with Ember? I hear he's bored. She doesn't talk like that, but, like, there's just an attitude where she's like, oh, by the way.
She's very uppity. But she's very calm, considering the way Margot is talking to her.
She's very calm. Like, yes, like, Margot is a hothead and the fairy queen is just like, oh, okay, got it.
You're like, ooh, you better watch out. This woman's going to...
Margot does not know it. Margot keeps getting out of her depth and she hasn't yet really learned to, like, scale it back because she thinks she needs to be, like, hard and powerful and loud. She doesn't. Yeah.
Because, I understand why. Even just looking at her, like, a woman, you know.
Absolutely.
In the patriarchal world. And then she's a small woman. She's really tiny.
Yeah.
So she has to be loud and boisterous to be noticed.
And people underestimate her all the time.
Exactly.
She comes into it knowing that.
She's
and so
smart.
She
just makes
she is.
Stupid decisions a lot of times.
Her,
you know?
Much like the other characters, her ego gets in a way, but her ego is more ambitious than the other characters. They get, like, their hurt feelings. She's like, oh, no, you're not.
Yeah, that's why she mirrors Julia so well, because they're very much...
Yeah.
They're
very ego-driven, but also intellectual, but they need to let down the ego.
And basically, like, a place of privilege for themselves. Yeah. Like, I'm staying here and I'm going up. I'm not going down. You know?
That's true. That's kind of Alice. All the women are kind of, it's interesting. Their personalities, it's interesting.
That is, like, true. All the women are from privilege for the most part. And the guys are just, well, except for Quentin. Quentin's privileged, but for the most part.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the women are, like, the stricter, more serious, like, I don't know.
Well, they like we said before, they've got the most power in the show.
They do. They're all the most, like, educated, practiced people.
Yeah, and the ones who know the crap instead of, like, you know, and the guys just think things are going to work out like guys do, you know? So.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see. The fairy queen is talking about Ember. And she's like, if we don't do something to stop him, like, everyone is going to be destroyed. Like, our planet, realm, whatever the fuck this is like, it'll be gone.
Right.
And Margo's like, well, I've been trying to contact him for, like, months now. So if you've got a lead. And the Fairy Queen is like, well, funny you mentioned that. I was setting you up for this exactly. And she gives her a weird plant.
Yeah, it was I didn't know what it was.
I didn't either, but I looked it up and it says plant that contains an irresistible smell that will lure Ember. And she says, you must bake it into little cakes.
Oh, yeah. No, Margo finished.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me guess. Little cakes?
Yeah,
we got
that's
it.
True. That's what happened. Yeah. But we run from there to Elliot, who meets up with Quentin. And he is asking Quentin about Alice, which is fair, since mm-hmm. Quentin, like, brought somebody back to life. And Quentin is like, maybe I didn't do the right thing, or, like, I think I did something to her, or, like, damaged her, or something, like, bringing her back.
You didn't damage her. She was damaged, and then you put
she
her in a human
damaged,
body.
And then you, right, like, this is, it's, like, the trauma is not the fact that she died. The trauma is, like, relearning everything and living through it.
Yeah,
and
having everything ripped away and you're
yes,
aware
like
of it.
Like, that's the trauma. Like, the trauma wasn't that she died. Like, she's now going through the trauma of, like, everything that happened.
It's like in a dream when you know how to fly. You know how to mm-hmm. fly in the dream. You know, just yeah. kick your legs up. And I sometimes have to swim in the air and I'll fly, you know. But I still do it. And when I wake up, I'm like, I could totally do it. I know I could. And then it's not going to happen.
Oh,
and it
gosh.
Sucks. I mean, it's amplified if you think about it that way.
I've never flown in a dream. I have hyper-realistic dreams.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. Like,
I need to start lucid dreaming. Maybe you could do it if you lucid dream.
I think I probably could, but that's another project. And Elliot is like, no, I'm sure you didn't damage Alice. And anyway, do you want to come save Sillery?
Oh my gosh, that's another shirt. Sillery.
It's all fun and games in Sillery.
It's like the opposite. Oh.
So Elliot is like, well, if you want to help, go to Umber's house and ask him to help us with yeah. all the Ember chaos. And then later, Elliot goes back to the castle to find Prince S sitting in his throne.
No, sir.
And he's like, get out. But Prince S is like, where is my father? And then King Idri walks in and there is his father. Get out, both of you. Thank you. Get the fuck out. That's not what Elliot says, but he is kind of like, I would love to use this new sword that I've got. Hint, hint. Mm-hmm. And Prince S, like, storms out. How did he get into the throne? Is there no security?
Because he had taken over, and that's when Josh...
Oh, that's why. I forgot that was still active.
He's cast the Y Spire.
Right, yeah. And so this is Elliot walking in and being like, get the fuck out. I'm caught up again. Okay. And anyway, Prince S, like, walks out like a princess. And then, this is weird. Well, I just think it's a little out of place where, like, that just happened. And then King Idri and Elliot are like, time to kiss?
Let's make out. You want to make out? Let's make out.
And, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It's like I was watching a Bridgerton recap and this guy was like, do you think people were as horny as the shows make them seem? And his co-host was like, yes. And I feel like that's probably true here. Like, would you, like, suggest a make out after getting kicked out of your planet and coming back? And, like, I mean, I guess, yeah.
I mean, people hook up when, like, somebody dies.
That's what I mean. I always doubt it when it's like in the story, but I'm like, people fuck at funerals. So like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Please don't. I'm not encouraging anybody to fuck it if you
want
to.
No, I'm just saying it happens. It's a natural response to death. That's all. Anyway, okay, let's jump back to.
It's natural to fuck at a funeral. Natural.
Haven't done it. Just saying it's a natural human response. You want to feel alive.
Yeah. It's like when you're feeling sick, you kind of get a little, sometimes, a little randy. Some people do. I do. Okay.
Like Monica in that Friends episode, when she's like, have sex with me. Yeah, and Chandler's like, no. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Quentin goes to Vancouver and is sitting with Umber, and he's trying to be like, don't you want to save Fillory? I love Fillory. You love Fillory. Fillory's great. Right. Why don't you want to come, like, help? And Umber is like, I believe it's beyond saving. And, like, that's some bullshit. And he's like, Quentin, I appreciate your pluck.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hope to capitalize on your qualities by bringing you to the pocket dimension formerly known as Cuba.
Umber gets really kind of ticked off, though. At one point, he's like, all right, quit bringing up Fillory.
Well, this is a lot of BS. Like, I got frustrated for Quentin in this point, because Umber's just like, no, Cuba, I mean, Pocket Dimension is going to be great. Pocket Square World is perfect, right? And then he's like, come check out my new world and give me notes on how perfect everything is. And you're like, this isn't going to go well.
No. Well, I love Quentin's like, I really don't want to. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. You misunderstood. I like you, but I'm a god and you're going to come. Like
okay. I hate every interaction with him. It's just, it makes me like, in person, it would make me go physically crazy. Like, soon I would just start screaming like an ape and throwing things because I would be grinding my teeth to bits, how to interact.
You know?
Ugh. But anyway, they're off to Pocket World while Elliot is on his throne brooding, as he often is, because there's nothing else to do. As we learned, there's plenty of shit to do. But anyway, a portal opens and Josh and Margo appear.
Mm-hmm.
And Elliot's like, oh my god, what happened? And Margo is missing a fucking eye.
That's right, because the queen
She's
was like,
missing an eye.
She had hinted, I'll send you back after I extract the toll. You're like, what? And then we found out what the toll
totally.
Was.
Totally. It's her eye. She plucked out Margo's eye. The fairies do not mess around.
And Margo doesn't even know it at this point.
Yeah, she doesn't. She's just like, what? And Elliot's like,
where's your eye?
Yeah, she's down a fucking eye.
Ugh.
And Fen and the baby are still in the fairy realm because Margo got out with her fucking eye.
Well, she said Fen wouldn't come because she didn't want to leave the baby.
Well, she can't leave the baby, but they can't get the baby because the baby belongs to the fairies legally.
Yeah.
So they can't take the baby. Lord. And then Margo tells him about, like, the deal to make the cakes with Ember, and, like, they're going to work it out.
Right. And I love how it goes into Margo putting on her first eye patch, the big bejeweled eye patch.
She's so cool. Like, I...
Well, there's one part where she says something, and he says... he goes, are you crying out of your good eye? And she goes, no, I'm crying. She goes, yes, and it's not my good eye. It's my only fucking eye. It made me laugh.
It's really, it's not funny, but the way they handle it is funny.
It's so absurd and intense. You have to laugh because it's so, what?
Yeah. And so Elliot talks about, like, what's going to happen unless they, like, solve this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everything's going to fall apart and maybe everyone will explode. We don't actually fucking know what's going to happen. But, like, everything is going to go to hell unless we throw a massive party for a god. Doing what we do best.
Throwing down. Let's do this.
Yes.
Get out that disco ball thing, man.
Oh my God. Yes. That would be so
I don't
so
understand
perfect.
Why that didn't happen. But
I think one failure of the show, and again, the writer's doing a great job. This is just a light failure, is like the repetition of the magical spells. Because there's a lot they could be using more often. Yeah. But I don't think the writers were thinking that way. But it would be fun if
trying to, because if you watch like anything like Harry Potter, they use those same spells over and over and over and over. And it was like, you kind of get tired of Expelliarmus and Avada Kedavra.
Yeah, because there's only five.
I know. And then you have this one, which has endless amounts of spells.
So like you could bring them out of the encyclopedia and be like, oh, right, we did learn that thing.
Yeah, I think it would be good, especially for the audience to be like, no, use that spell, you know, kind of interacting.
Yeah, I would like. But anyway, and we jump to said party because Elliot and Margot, while we didn't see them much at the Fizzle House, seem to be king and queen party. Mm-hmm. And so they've got like dancers and music and food, and Josh is baking all of these things.
Little cakes.
Little cakes with the plant inside. And they like wave the scent towards the entrance so Ember will come. And they're like, hopefully this works. And everybody's having a great, well, it's a time. Meanwhile,
a forced good time. Yes.
It's a forced good time. It's hard to really celebrate. But they're like, okay, let's do this.
Because everybody's so tense. Like they want this to work.
Meanwhile, Quentin is still in the pocket dimension, formerly known as Cuba, and Umber is like, but really tell me, what do you think? And like, it sucks.
I mean,
Quentin can't say that. He says it's very linear because it's so boring. Like they sit in boring chairs at a boring table in a boring building.
And it's nothing but buildings. There's no greenery
right.
at all.
It's nothing. It's just like cubicle world. It's a nightmare to anyone but a god, I guess, who is like, look how tidy everything is.
Yeah. And you're like, no. And he's even having him. What were they eating?
They're eating like pasta.
Yeah,
and
some kind of linguine or whatever.
Yeah. And Quentin says it's bland. And Umber says that bland is safe versus the chaos that Ember creates. And Q says something about like what Ember would do. And Umber's like, don't talk to me about my brother. Like, don't talk to me about him.
Like you just literally were talking about him.
I was don't just... talk about him.
Oh, okay.
Like he really is like.
You sound like they're all gonna laugh at you.
Anyway, back at the castle, Elliot notices that the party and the cake thing doesn't seem to be working, and he's like, "Should we sacrifice someone?" You know, it didn't take long for him to get there, huh?
I mean, it's chaos, I guess. I mean, in a way.
It's chaos, but how would you choose someone? That's anyway. However, eventually we hear little cakes. And there he is. It's Ember down in some cakes. And everybody bows. And initially he's like, you're here. What are you doing here, Elliot?
I kicked you out. Yeah.
I got rid of you. But then Ember changes his tune because remember he loves chaos. And so he's like, oh, how delightful. Something I didn't expect. Yes. And that's what he wants because he's so bored. He's bored with everything. Nothing surprises him. And so Elliot and Margot have a whole pitch for like the future of Fillory and they call it shit tons of drama and fun.
I mean,
that is exactly what he wants. And they're like twists and turns and like, remember when you made Fillory and everything was new and exciting. But then they mention Umber and then Ember starts going on a rant because the brothers don't get along. The goat god brothers don't get along. And then in his stupid world, Umber is like ranting about his brother.
Yeah, Ember's like, and my brother's dead because the beast killed him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Ember is like, everything you've said reeks of whimsy, and I'm tired of whimsy. And so he starts to like destroy shit. like,
oh yeah, the castle and all the, those little spinning
he's like
things.
Yeah, like they start to crumble and like everyone is like fleeing the party because it's not really a party anymore. It's the end of the world. That's a good shirt too. It's not a party. It's the end of the world.
Yeah. And just Ember doing this and like things are falling.
Goat God cakes. Oh, God. Goat God with little cakes. and then so back to Umber and Quentin who are fighting because Umber is like, I couldn't possibly return to Fillory. And Quentin is like, haha, you are in Fillory.
And he's like, what?
And Ember's like, apocalypse, apocalypse, apocalypse. And then Julia shows up holding the
snow globe,
the snow globe thing. And she shakes it up. And Quentin and Umber are still in the thing. And she's shaking it. And then
I don't know
Umber,
why she had to do that. But
I don't either. And Umber starts trying to kill Q. And then they pop out of the thing and they pop into the throne room. And so you have the Umber and Ember are like, what the fuck are you doing here? It's the Spider-Man meme, literally. Yeah, exactly. And then Ember is like, oh my God, you struck a deal. You and Martin Chatwin behind my back. And they start like literally fighting, like,
yeah.
Fight, like,
I mean, wouldn't this be something he would like? It's chaos. It's like,
yeah, but I don't think he wants personal chaos. He wants to watch it.
Yeah.
He wants to watch chaos and make it happen. Anyway, Ember and Umber are fighting and like Quentin and Margot and Elliot get all like knocked aside and Umber's like, "Don't kill me." And Ember kills him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a real shock because also in all the myths, you're like, you need these two gods to like balance each other.
They're the yin and yang of each other.
In the world. Yeah. And so like, what does that mean? But it doesn't matter because Julia has a god killing sword.
What she does is when Ember stab or kills Umber, you see the magic flow out of him and she captures that and puts it into the sword.
Thank you.
I missed that.
Okay, I missed that. So she enchants the sword with that, and then she and Q are able to do it and, like, stab Ember.
Yeah.
And they killed them.
Yeah. And both Ram gods are just dead on the floor in Castle Whitespire.
God killer.
Mm-mm. That's... Fillory. And you know what? And that's... Remember when Persephone had said the episode before, there's a... consequence to killing a god.
Oh shit. And it was Quentin, guys. It was Quentin who actually like did the deed. It wasn't Julia. Thank fucking God, because I can't have her get punished anymore. Like and then it's like Fillory is saved. Cause like and now Elliot and Margot are like, now that Fillory is god free, which do we know that for sure? They're not like minor gods running around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're not like demigods. Did they like impregnate somebody?
But anyway, they're like, we should draft a constitution of our own. And they're like, it's time to get Hamilton in here.
And they're like, here's a bunch of good ones. Just take the best parts out of these.
It's not the best approach, but they are lazy monarchs. And so really it continues. Meanwhile, Quentin brings Alice food to eat and he gives her bacon because, like, you gotta eat bacon. Like,
well,
because
she hasn't been eating and because all the bland food and
all
he's
the
like,
bland
you know,
food
screw
that,
he knew
her.
She liked bacon.
And he's like, here's a plate of bacon. And she starts eating the bacon. Like an animal, as we all would.
I mean, if there's a whole plate of bacon and I
whole plate of bacon just
it,
for me.
It looks so good too. I was like, man, my mouth is watering thinking about it.
Give me a plate of bacon. Anyway, her hands are all greasy, obviously, because she just faced a lot of bacon and Quentin is drying them and she's like, why does that feel so good? Which I'm like, I feel really morally unsure about them hooking up right now in her mental state. but at the same time, she is a physical adult. So, like, I don't know. As with everything else in The Magicians, it's like,
And also considering her shade is a little girl.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't, like, this doesn't seem entirely, like, above board or healthy. But, okay.
Technically, she is an adult, but yeah.
I know. I just feel like it's kind of icky. That's all. Quentin has no ill intentions. It's just kind of icky.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Katie tracks down Harriet. Remember, Marley Matlin, the woman who worked at the website that had, like, all the spells and stuff embedded in the stories. And she's like, can you help me save Penny? And in return, Katie will bring Harriet info about the library. And she agrees.
Yeah.
And we're like, what's going on here? Somebody's going to bring down the library?
I know. And the thing was, like, the bad thing, she was like, yeah, but how are you going to do that? She was like, I got a guy on the inside. He was like, yeah, he's not going to tell you anything because, you know. And she's like, yeah, but he'll tell me and then I can tell you. Like, she can get the answers from him without covertly. And so she's like, but yeah, you'll be deceiving him. She's like, yeah, but that's like the least of.
That's like what really we what do we now.
Yeah, we just kind of screw each other over a little
that's
bit.
That's just foreplay, honestly. Yeah. It sucks because I feel like Katie is a victim of circumstance. Like, she doesn't want to be this person, but she's like forced to be this kind of like deal maker, conniver, like schemer, but she doesn't want to be.
You know, what's fun? Like, so out of the entire like cast, the people I would want to actually be around would be Katie.
Yes, totally. I would love to get a drink with Katie.
I would hang out with Margot and Elliot a little bit, but I'm not going to be like friends with them because they get you in a lot of trouble.
If they invite you to a party, you're like, we're going to get ready, we're going to be safe, but we're going to have an adventure.
Right, exactly.
And I would not hang out with Quentin or Alice so far.
No.
Maybe later.
I'd copy some test answers. That'd be about it. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't trust anything about Alice. And speaking of, so we see Alice and Quentin in bed where I'm a little like, okay. And Quentin is like, things are looking up, you know, things aren't descending into hell like they normally are. And everything's about to end, you know, like we got some wins. And then we killed a god. And Alice is like, you did what now? And he's like, we killed a god. And she's like, the stupidest thing ever. You said you just did the stupidest thing ever.
Now you killed Ember? Yeah, it's like, you moron. What were you thinking?
And he's like, why? What are you talking about? And she's like, gods like Ember and Umber have parents.
They're brothers. They're going to have parents.
And we're like, oh, shit. And this is basically like Alice knowledge, magical universe knowledge of stuff is like there are older gods above them who will like be mad about this.
Yeah.
And we're all like, what?
Oh, crap. That's the consequence.
And then, okay, the first time I saw this scene, I was like, what the fuck is this? Because they just insert it where there's a fucking plumber who is walking around Breakbills and he literally goes to like a factory style, I don't know what you call them.
Some kind of like a box, a metal box you would have on the wall.
A boiler.
But it's just hanging in the air in the middle of the classroom.
And he turns it off. Like, he literally switches off the magical plumbing.
And everybody's just like, whoa, they all feel it.
Like, we go through that, like, there's a professor teaching a class at Breakbills and the magic disappears. And then he goes to the Netherlands Library and they have a switch also that he like turns. He's like going through all of our big set pieces and like turns off the magic in these like secret panels out of nowhere. He's just opening up panels in the world. It's like the Truman Show kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's turning off magic. And then we jump forward 2 months. And we see Alice, Quentin, and Josh, and Dean Fogg, who are trying to study magic, even though, like, there isn't really magic. But they have to hope that it will come back. Yeah.
they're still studying the books, but yeah.
Right. They're studying like the study of magic, but they like can't have it.
That whole thing with like Dean Fogg's like asking a question and he was like, does anybody know the answer? And people are raising their hands. He was like, guys, magic is gone. So my eyes aren't working right now. And you're like, oh, that's horrible.
Later Alice in her, I can't remember how it jumps to this, but she runs into Friar Joseph, that Niffin who couldn't be like, un-Niffined or whatever, sent away. Mm-hmm. And she misses being a Niffin and he's like, ew, you're human now.
Like, yeah. But he's like, I still sense you in there though. I still sense the Niffin you in there.
Which is also weird. And like, what does it mean? But anyway, mm-hmm. He warns her that she pissed off a lot of powerful beings when she was a Niffin. And we are not the least bit surprised because alive Alice barely gave any fucks. So Niffin Alice gave zero fucks. And apparently she is being like pursued by one of these beings that she pissed off. And she like has to flee.
And now you're like, I hope she remembers all the things she did then. Like, no, she didn't remember all the magic.
But she doesn't. There's no way. There's no way.
The smallest amount. That's it. Like,
Like, so there's no way she remembers.
She doesn't know at all what's going on.
Interactions, connections, other beings. Like, we don't even know about that world. We can't even imagine, like, what she was doing. I feel like I'm just like, meanwhile. But it is just kind of like cycling through, like, where is everybody now? Like, post this god killing. Elliot and Marco are having dinner. And they're like, so we're rulers of a magical land with no magic. What do we do? Here's my question. If there's no magic, Elliot is not bound to the land, right?
Well, he isn't now anyway because Ember kicked him out, so he isn't anymore.
That's true, but like, there's truly nothing like keeping him there. So it does enter kind of an interesting decision point for him.
Yeah, and another thing is like, can't travel back and forth anymore? Can they? Because
they don't have a button and
magic.
They don't have magic, so right. Like, yeah, they're like marooned, right, mm-hmm. in Fillory. Anyway, they talk about like their different philosophies of like, Margo is like, we should have like curfews and capital punishment and like blood of our enemies. And Elliot is like, well, maybe we could like inspire people and not murder them. And you can just kind of tell that like they need advisors. They
they're kind of like the new Ember and Umber.
They are, because they don't have a lot of overlap when it comes to this, their approaches to this stuff.
Exactly. And one of them usually goes a little more crazy in their idea than the other.
They need like a team of advisors that they can throw stuff to who can counsel them. And I wouldn't say they have that now with like their current like magic sloth and tick and the map maker. Like, those are crazy people. I'm sorry.
Ooh, I wonder if Josh's magical weed still works, though.
Oh, see, that would be fun. Suddenly, Fen hobbles into the throne room and is like, hey, bitches, guess what? Guess who lost some body parts as well to get back here? Yeah, I missed my fucking toes. That's not what she says, but she's like, the fairies are coming.
So gangster. But you know what, though? She did. Her attitude is completely changed. She's like, I have been like, through shit and I'm tired. Yeah,
it is what she doesn't know the words for it, but she's like, yeah. But anyway, she's like, the fairies are coming, but like, they're here. The fairies are fucking here. So she had like 3 seconds on them. Like,
they're coming, and there they are.
And they're here. And they have weapons, and the fairy queen is outside the castle with her fairy army, and they're gonna fucking take your shit because you don't have magic, and fairies seem to have some kind of weird fucking supernatural power still.
Yeah, because some of them are flying.
Yeah, if it's not magic, it's something, but they have some kind of advantage, and they're like, now is our time. We are taking Castle Whitespire. It's ours, even though we already had it. I don't totally understand why it's useful for them to dominate across universes, but maybe we'll find out. Right. Okay, but we're still not over quite yet, even though that is a huge fucking deal.
Yeah, it is. That's a good cliffhanger for them, for sure.
It's a good cliffhanger, but it's not our cliffhanger. It's just one. Because we see Julia. Julia and Quentin are the beating heart of the show from episode one. That, like, despite the fact that they don't interact for episodes at a time, they are, like, the through line of the show. And so Julia visits Quentin and...
she's like, hey, I need to show you something.
Yeah. It's, I got confused because I was like, wait, this already happened. And then I was like, no, wait, remember the episode. Because Quentin is like, or she holds out her hands and it looks like she's going to cast a spell. And Quentin is like, Julia, stop. Like, you know, magic
People are, they're really missing magics. They're really grasping
Why is your dismissive attitude back, Quentin? Quentin.
Like, come on, Quentin.
Quentin. Yeah. Get past
Quentin.
This.
What's Quentin. The problem?
But, and she's like, no, watch. And she like generates a tiny spark between her hands. And we're like, holy shit, Julia is magic somehow. Like she still has some magic.
Yeah. And you know what? It reminded me of the first episode when he went to see her and then she was doing the sparks with her fingers.
Through it all, no matter what happens, Julia knows she has the magic inside. And that's how we end with, like, magic may be gone. Or is it?
End of season.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow. Crazy.
The show literally has it all.
I love it when they give you little, you're like, oh, I'm glad they sometimes I'm like, when a show sets up something like this, you know, they know where they're going the next season and not just, oh, they met somebody. We're not going to see their face. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, wait, they clearly have a story that they want to tell.
There's a direction. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going somewhere. Yeah.
So what did you guys think? Did you like this episode? Did you like the whole season as a whole? Did you think the show got better as it went on? Which I think it did. I think it
crazier. It just gets stronger every episode.
It does. And all the twists and turns and the comedy just picks up even more too. It's great. I can't wait for season three. We got to take a little break on that, but we're going to come back for season three. So don't worry about that. Just, you know, rate us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen, tell your friends. Don't forget to join the Patreon for some merch and some, cataloged extra episodes you can listen to, and season three coming soon, most likely. In fact, actually what's going to be coming out soon, probably the next day after this comes out, I'm going to put it on the Patreon, will be the behind the scenes compilation with me and you, stuff I cut out in our conversations. That's not bad stuff. It's just funny stuff. And I'll probably post that on Tuesday of this week. So look for that. And thank you guys for listening so much. We appreciate it. And remember,
we love watching the show. We love recapping this. Please listen to these episodes more than the Scream episode, so that it is a clear vote for the magicians. So we can just do more magicians and not.
Speaking of Scream, by the way, apparently they're going to make a YA novel continuation of the original first two season.
I'll read that. Okay. I read that.
So because they're all older now, they wouldn't be able to be teenagers. And
the show was such a trash fire that didn't make any sense. Sure. Yeah.
I remember season two was much better, but I would, eventually like to go there, but we'll see. Anyway. So stay magical, everybody. Bye.
Bye.